Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Give him my heart.
Starring Gary Dorden from TVCS.
To independence now.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, they say those who do not move do not feel their chains, but the African people aware of their pain, aware of the game, invader deception, black presidents who are white man extensions, people from Cape to Cairo rebel, cause fake independence and ongoing hell, colonial ties still keep them chained, the richest continents getting robbed again, the IMF and World Bank criminal schemes. What about reparations? To me it seems that every metropole from Amsterdam to Paris and Brussels was built with the hands of African labor, a slave relation, developing Europe at expense of their nation. But Africans rebel from the first conquest till flag independence at last accomplished.
Il y en a qui demandent la vie de tout l'impérialisme. L'impérialisme, regardez dans vos affaires, quand vous mangez les grains de riz, de maïs, de mil importés, c'est ça l'impérialisme, n'allez pas plus loin.
Yeah. Hey yo, the spirit of Lumumba lives on in Congo, like Thomas Sankara in Burkina Faso. Zamora Michelle, it was Viva Frelimo, but Mozambique still fighting for freedom. Why did these three who dare to invent the future then clash to the fullest extent with the colonizers? If we open eyes, if we can see the rich whites, we're scared of rising African power, real independence, a people's politics, anti-capitalism. So they stifle their growth in every way, so that South Africa looks colonized today. For any flaws of Mugabe, that ain't what they hate. Zimbabwe's not a colony, make no mistake. Look at AFRICOM, the African command. That's the US and a puppet shaking each other's hands. Divide and conquer is a hell of a tactic. They blame Africa for relations that backward. The whole basis was plundered from outside Rwanda, Uganda. The Sudan's divides, pushing forward war for precious coal sand. So cell phones and PCs are sold in land where people don't know how they were constructed. Your Windows now functions from a child's destruction.
Everyone, to George Jackson University Radio, where our primary objective is to transform the entire prison industrial complex into one of the largest universities in this country, with an emphasis on African-centered, pan-African political education. Again, we thank you all for joining us another Wednesday. The show will be approximately from 8 to 10 p.m. We'll open up for callers around 9 o'clock. And if anyone has any questions or comments, just press 1 on your phone. Now we will bring on one of our co-hosts, Bumani Shakur. Hujumbo.
Jumbo, Conrad. How you doing, Conrad?
Oh, I'm strong, brother. How about yourself?
Yeah. Oh, I'm strong, brother. I'm stronger. No, I'm stronger, brother. Wise and civilized, man. Just building, man, and maintaining my holding my composure, man, within the world of chaos. No, one thing to remember is that we're actually at war. It's a war taking place by the propagandist machine, which is our oppressor. They keep us enslaved, a mental slave, so they can keep us enslaved physically, financially, spiritually, well, in all the other schools of thought, man, all the other areas. So our whole entire liberation is to educate ourselves so we'll be aware of all these situations so we can develop solutions and be solutionary to our problems and so that we can be better productive people in our own society, which is our immediate family, whether it's inside our community, our nation, our particular organization, our particular factions or cadre that we participate in, right? So I want to say free land, all those identified with land, revolutionary and greedy, free all the political prisoners. I want to congratulate everybody out there who's seeking knowledge for themselves and not just attaining degrees in the American academic system, but seeking knowledge themselves and doing self-research and become self-taught and self-learned and attaining a self-made education. I was saying shout out to all the brothers and sisters behind enemy lines, which is in prison, who will continue to educate themselves and transfer their mind from their criminal mentality to a gangster mentality. I know it's a hard journey, but you can do it. You can do it, you know what I'm saying, with your own intelligence, because we're the most intelligent being on this planet Earth. You know what I'm saying? Descendants of African people, we refer to ourselves as Africans, New African, Hebrew, Moors, whatever we refer to ourselves, we're the most intelligent people on this planet Earth, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, I would like to thank all our listeners and callers and all the people who have been engaging into our dialogue since our origin on the Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to thank all the staff of Jordan University for continuing on to be steadfast and put for this work, this mission we got. We're going to transform the criminal mentality and gangster mentality via education to a new mind of a new man and a new woman, so they can be a new person and a new society. I want to thank all the ancestors and all the freedom fighters who continue to push the line after 30 and 40 and 50 years and still continue to push the line and be committed. You know, Georgia University is an educational platform, so our objective is to inform you about different things that are taking place in regards to our people, be it political, spiritual, religious, be it community-based, be it prison-based, whatever the issue or the issue on such a line be. So we understand that a lot of people, that all our people had different thoughts and different ideologies. So we try to stay abreast of all things happening in this world, as well as on having a different scopes of different guests to speak about different things to the mass of the minds of the people, right? We understand that you know, that people are now celebrating the holiday, Christmas, and that people are bartering the first day of Kwanzaa or the Ashley's like that. You know, so we try to keep things in the sense of a culture aspect level that we all descend as an African people, right? So the education is all meant to inform your mind from the colonistic minds that have been pulled upon us, because a lot of people are mentally dead and mentally asleep due to the fact that the system had programmed conditioning to be that way. So our thing is to develop a Afrocentric school of thought and Afrocentric psychological mindset, because the European psychologists such as Sigmund Freud, Carl Abraham Maslow, and all the other individuals, they kind of actually identified us because they're not of our genetic makeup. So we look for people to people like Dr. Frances Wilson, look at people like Dr. Maria Bonney, we look at people like Dr. Nate Akbar, look at people like Haki Mahabudi, other social scientists that have participated in or are of our genetic background. You know what I'm saying? I would like to bring onto the show tonight Sister Ea Africa. How you doing, Sister?
Good evening, brother. I'm just great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, sister. First, welcome to Jordan University Radio. We want to thank you for coming to our platform to share your knowledge and understanding, share your story, and to contribute to educating and liberating the mind and mass of the people. You know, first off, can you tell us what your name means?
Okay, yes. First of all, I just want to pay homage to the source of all creation, to the great mothers, to the ancestors, to the elders, and all the brothers and sisters out there on this path. My name, Iya Africa. Iya is a Yoruba term for mother. Africa is actually my birth name. It's what my parents named me at birth. So that's the explanation behind my name.
True indeed. Okay. Can you tell a little about your background, how you grew up, and how you came into knowledge of yourself or knowledge of anything?
Absolutely. I actually grew up in a small country town, population about 2,500, predominantly white, predominantly Christian culture. I come from a family of devout Christians, like a lot of us did. My mother was a minister. My grandfather, my brother, they all were and are Christian ministers. So needless to say, a lot like all of us, you know, I was the quote-unquote black sheep of the family. And my awakening came about, you know, strictly because I was one that always loved to learn and always loved to research and learn new things. So I was always a researcher, even when I was in the school of thought known as Christianity. I was a child that, you know, began to study the Bible at a young age, and I had a desire for a lot of things spiritual at a young age. I wanted to know. I wanted to know where these different stories came from and whatnot. So when I woke up and had my experience, you know, like a lot of us, you know, it was, you know, kind of, it cuts deep, you know, when you realize that these things that you've been taught all your life are necessarily not so. So, and then you begin to embark on the journey and, you know, begin to seek knowledge about your original culture and your ancient culture. And, you know, it's up to one to feed that knowledge. And as I said, I'm one who loves to learn and loves to discover new things. So I just continue feeding that knowledge and growing and being open to other schools of thought so that I was able to piece certain puzzles, to put certain puzzle pieces together, you know, to gain a higher understanding, you know, in several dimensions of thought. So.
True indeed. Yeah, that's very interesting. From my own personal experience and experience of others, that when you start gaining knowledge of yourself, start decolonizing your mind state, you go through different stages. You go different stages, you know what I'm saying, of being angry, different stages
right.
of being You become arrogant. You know, different stages of different thoughts in your mind state of how you look at things. You know, like, oh, I've been deceived. I've been tricked all these years, and now I want to fight this system that's been deceiving me. You know, and that's
right.
Very interesting, right? You know, I see that you're a motivational speaker, and you're a poet, you're an author, and you can do various things that pertain to the mind state, right? Which you reprogrammed yourself from, right? Can you tell a little bit more about your book, A Timeless Dynasty?
Sure, absolutely. I would love to. A Timeless Dynasty, it's the first in a series. I set out to create that piece of literature back in 2013. the inspiration behind it was that I wanted to be able to teach hidden aspects of our culture in a modern storyline so that readers can stay intrigued and entertained while learning, you know, different valuable truths and concepts about our culture. So I wove different truths into a science fiction storyline to be able to, as I say, keep one entertained, because everyone isn't the pick up a history book and read type, you know, and we have a lot of people who kind of think of history as boring, but they, at the same time, they're avid readers. So I always had a love for writing, and I actually had began writing a book when I was about 19 years old, before everyone had, you know, computers in every home. So it was handwritten, and I ended up losing it in a move. So growing in the knowledge of our culture and spiritual systems, accompanied with my passion for writing, that caused me to embark on the mission of writing A Timeless Dynasty and setting out to write a novel and committing to finishing. And I did that with A Timeless Dynasty. I released that to the public on March 22nd, 2017.
Okay. If a person would like to attain the book, how would it go about attaining the book?
It can be obtained on the website at www.atimelessdynasty.web.com, or you can just simply go on Facebook to the Facebook page, type in A Timeless Dynasty in the search box, and then it'll take you to the page and just click the purchase button, and it'll get you to the right place so that you can get your copy of that.
Okay. Now you also mentioned that you had particular writing, right? What actually the focus of your writing, especially in regards to being a motivating speaker? Say for instance, if you were to meet a group of young people in their teenage years, what actually would you tell them from all your years of living that would motivate them? If you were to get them a motivational speak, what would you tell them?
I would put major emphasis on them knowing the power within them to be able to bring things to fruition, to begin to alert them to the creative forces that are going through their veins and pumping through their blood and the greatness that they come from, empowering them by letting them know that they do have control of their lives, you know, and teaching them the richness of their culture that began before slavery. We know that in different schools across this country, they start our history with, you know, the aspect of slavery or the prisoners of war that were taken from, you know, Africa and brought here. But they don't teach us about the different, you know, things and beforehand and Egypt and Kemet and things like that. We don't hear about that in the schools. So my emphasis when I do encounter young people and with the organization that I have, you know, I weave different aspects of their culture that's not so readily known. If this is a child that, or even an adult, for the adults that come along, if it's someone who, you know, wasn't taught certain aspects of their culture and history, you know, it takes a toll on who you are and how you see yourself and who you become. So when we begin to empower youth at a young age and show them the greatness they come from, show them by teaching it to them, by being able to show it to them in history, and also being a living example by holding ourselves to these higher standards that we know that we descend from. You know, when we consider the, you know, the greatness and the different, the rich aspects of our culture that's so readily hidden yet adored by many other cultures. So I would begin there, you know, self-empowerment, letting them know that they do have the power to change things.
True indeed. You mentioned your organization. What is the name of your organization, and what does your organization actually do?
Excuse me. It's called House of Iyami Aje. It's a spiritual school, if you will. It's an organization that, it's like a home-style course in the great African mother's history and application of the sciences for the diaspora-born African. We accept ages 14 through 65. The target is the youth, of course. But again, like I said, we know that there are a lot of adults that have been deprived of certain aspects of our culture and knowledge. And so if there's an adult who wishes to commit to learning these things, then of course we open the door for them as well. It's a school where we have lectures, they have assignments and exams that charge the enrollee with recalling information, not just investigating it. Because when I found out, when I got on this path, you know, it was kind of overwhelming to go from just studying one book to having to study all these other different things. And as I traveled this path, you know, a lot of different people came to me here and there with, based on my poetry and my writings and them just knowing the things that I was into, you know, and asked me for explanations or, hey, can you help me with this and that. So my thing was, how do I put this into a structured system so that, A, I can be able to help all of those that come to me, you know, without having to do it on a one-on-one individual basis, but still being able to be hands-on, you know, in the process. So that was the inspiration behind me creating the school and compiling the curricula and beginning to, you know, structure things so that it is a standing entity and, of course, in the future for people to be aware of its existence and the service that we offer our community. And I say community as, you know, the Black community, the African community here in the United States. It's an online program, so it really doesn't matter where you are if you want to participate. Again, as I said, it puts structure in order to the path of awakening for the person who isn't so good at going out and researching on your own, but yet and still you are charged with going out and researching things on your own, because that's a part of the problem. We have to go from being told everything to becoming researchers ourselves.
Okay. You mentioned the name Iyami Aji. Well, what exactly does that mean, and why did you choose that name?
I chose that name because Iyami, it's a Yoruba word also, Aj also. I chose that name just to bring awareness to, it translates as my mother, Iyami, to bring awareness to the great African mothers. You know, we'll see their presence, the Yoruba pantheon, the Iyami Aj, we'll see it there. And then when you begin to learn about the African Sibyls and Mami Wata, all of these different pieces of knowledge, you know, fall under the umbrella of what we know as the great African mothers. So in the name itself, House of Iyami Aje, House of My Mother, it's a school that gives emphasis and teaches, you know, about the hidden aspects of the great African mothers and how she was usurped. And these different schools of thought yet dawned from her existence. So it's for the person who is devoted to and has a desire to learn things along that nature.
Okay. My next question is for the listeners, can you get them an understanding of what exactly is the African mother from your own experience and own knowledge?
Sure. Well, the as I said, you know, it covers a wide range of different subjects. You have the Iyami, you have the African Sibyls. Of course, we know in the Kemetian systems we have the different feminine goddesses. With the school, our foundation is embedded in the knowledge of the African Sibyls as the authors of all religion and civilization and law. When you begin to study them, you'll see where a lot of these different principles come from. And when you consider what is known as goddess worship, or you hear the phrase, the Black woman is God, goddess worship can be traced back as far as 25,000 BC, and in some accounts, you know, before then. So it's when we consider studying things in antiquity, or we consider what's known as the ancient African mothers, you have to take it back and you have to study and go back to a time, you know, where it's considered antiquity and what was going on in these times. You've seen the worship and the veneration of the black woman as a goddess figure. It was with the African symbols, with different initiations they had. There was no initiation that could be valid, no spiritual ceremony that was considered valid if it wasn't presided over by a symbol. Even when you consider different aspects and concepts in the Yoruba culture and Ifa, you know, reading different things, if you don't have a woman present, it's like you didn't do anything. You know, she is the one who has the womb, who gives birth to all things. And likewise, in Yoruba culture, when you get different divinations, you know, the simulation of these things, it's simulating the birth process. So it shows the importance of knowing what the divine feminine is and the history behind that, and being able to, yeah, we say divine feminine, yeah, as a vague, you can think of it as a vague concept, but to be able to think of it and know about it in specific detail, you know, it does something to your being to be able to truly, you know and recall certain aspects and study them in particular, because it was because of the fact that they have been hidden and the reason behind that, you know, and all of that, you know, that we are where we are today as a people. So when we consider what all of our different sciences are rooted in, you know, it's rooted in a system of matriarchy in antiquity. And matriarchy isn't the opposite of patriarchy. A lot of people don't know that. You know, matriarchy isn't down with the male, up with the female. Matriarchy is a system where they both have their role, you know, and these are the things that our ancient cultures operated from and dealt with. We moved with the universe. We moved with the nature of things. And the feminine principle is the one that gives birth to, you know, things spiritual. The womb is a portal. So, as I said, it's important for us to study these ancient African mothers because they were, you know, a part of the foundation. They were very instrumental in laying the foundation of everything we know today as civilization.
True indeed. My next question is, how important is it, or basically, what benefit can the African man, the black man, or the African man receive by engaging into this school of thought, or becoming a member of this house, or engaging into the curriculum? What kind of benefit would a man receive, an African man?
Well, before a man can even operate in certain sciences, he has to truly, in his heart and in his mind and everything about him, have respect for his equal as the divine feminine principle. There's just no way you're going to be able to ascend to certain levels or go to certain depths if you don't have that respect for that principle. So a male, you know, if we consider the divine feminine, we're all male and female. Male and female has to come together to create us. In everything, there's male and female. You know, so even though you may be a male, it still behooves you to study the divine feminine because you also have that aspect within your making. You know, we have a right and a left brain. You know, we have a mother and a father. We have, you know, all these different aspects of male and female in nature. So if one is studying to know thyself, then knowing thyself means you have to study both aspects of yourself. You have to become one with both aspects of yourself, the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and be able to balance those things.
True indeed. I can relate to the equilibrium. Now, you mentioned earlier that your curriculum is online, your organ is online. Now, if it enters, a person is locked up in prison, and they wanted to become a student or join the house, Is it feasible for them to do that? Are they able to receive something like any kind of documents, you know what I'm saying, in paper form? Since a lot of them don't have access to the internet, would it be feasible, or have you even thought about it? Or is it even a program that you have?
Oh yes, absolutely. Of course, a lot of us have friends and family members, you know, in these different prison systems. So that also, you know, of course, knocked on my door, you know, at one time or another in my life. And even currently, you know, I know brothers that are in there. And for me to find out about what you guys do here at George Jackson University, before you had reached out to me, I actually had thought about that, you know, beginning to make it available for brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. The enrollment can be done online, but of course, you know, the different lessons associated to it would have to be mailed to that person. But yes, absolutely, with the enrollment process, and once we get, you know, their information and how to reach them via mail, yeah, that is something that we're looking to have set up and going in the near future, you know, I say near future in the next month or so. And I'll be, of course, making that announcement on the Facebook page. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. You revealed that you're a poetess, right? Could you share some of your poetry with us so we can get an understanding of where you're coming from?
Sure. this piece is titled Awakening the Dark.
Okay.
I hail from the triple blackness of the cosmos, personified in this flesh that you now behold. My solar origin is from the sun behind the sun. At one time you beheld me not. I am the hidden one. You tarnished my image, took my title, and rocked me to sleep with your spellbinding root works. Did you not consider that I would awaken and identify your face as being my captor? Oh, I am great. Your stolen magic could not restrain my eternal recollection of self for long, only for a time, and then you will be not. You see, I am the black goddess who was dead yet is risen, the bringer of a new science. I am the grand mathematician giving off ether emissions with each thought that I project, with each literary composition, its contents highly flammable, showing great erudition. I speak from the God particle all Nubian women have embedded in them. Yet my model is a limited edition, for I am the enforcer of spiritual petitions, signed in the blood of a million ancestors on a mission, and I arrive with in hand my writ of prohibition. I am the scales of justice, the power that resurrects us, Miss Ruach HaKodesh, yes, the one they disguised, hid, and took out the Trinity. Creation can't take place without the feminine energy. You've seen me sitting untouched for eons, deified as the Sphinx. I was that voice in church whispering, this don't make no sense, just think. If you were waiting for something else, then you've been hoodwinked. For I'm the fire-breathing fire, the one they identify with the ancient matriarch. I am the great mother who awakens the dark when I turn on their lights, causing pineals to illuminate, giving vehicles headlights. I create earthquakes where no fault lies. Call me fire, for I am ubiquitous in nature. Better yet, I prefer the nomenclature of birther of the indigo, her highness golden ratio, 1.61 perfect, left hand of the grand architect. I am the Ma and Mason, the Yah and Jason, unraveling these mysteries with an intelligent articulation. I create galactic connections with my encrypted word flowing. And if you kill this flesh, my people will be free, because my ascension and presence amongst the ancestors that are weak,
will genetically spread ancient knowledge like the 100 monkey theory. And they will then know that the earth is my womb, and the darkness of space, the walls of my sarcophagus entombed. The sky will roll away when the lid is removed, and they will rule again when my body is exhumed, being quick and faster than light speed, creating a sonic boom. If they would just use the tools and unearth the jewels that I genetically gave them when I went inside myself and manifested in this realm. I say,
The Dark Mother, huh? What exactly is a Dark Mother? What do you mean by that?
Awakening the dark is what it's called. You know, when we were just conversing about the divine feminine and what that aspect is and how important it is to get in touch with that, you know, be you male or female. So it's talking about that, you know. I create earthquakes where no fault lies. Call me Phi, for I am ubiquitous in nature. Better yet, I prefer the nomenclature of Bird or of the Indigo. You're talking about the divine feminine principle. You're talking about the great African mothers. You're talking about the ancient mothers. So that's what the whole thing is symbolically, you know, in a nutshell, that's what it's talking about, awakening the dark. That dark, quote unquote, dark aspect, you know, when we get into, you know, the what they would call the darker sciences, you know, even different aspects of magic or whatnot. We know the dark principle, of course, is a reference to us. You know, we are the carbon beings.
True.
We are the dark.
Our ancestors created everything. All the scientists on this, all the science schools taught on this planet. You mentioned that you're a lover of the human soul. What exactly is a lover of the human soul? You know, give us an understanding of that.
When I say lover of the human soul, I mean just that. The human, of course, is the man with hue, the man with color. You know, there again, we're talking about our people. And when we're dealing with the aspects of soul, of course, we can get into all different philosophies, and everyone has their breakdown of what that principle is. But when I say that, it's really just superficial, mostly, and surface level, you know, just a lover of my people, lover of the soul, what we are, the true essence of what we are at our greatest. At our worst, too, but at our greatest. And that's my mission, you know, in order to be able to help my brothers and sisters hold themselves to those God and Goddess standards. So.
Oh, okay. Now I got another question. It's kind of a little off, but it's not off. You know, yesterday was Christmas. So from your studies and your experience, your knowledge, what exactly does Christmas mean? You know what I'm saying? From an ancient standpoint, or symbolic standpoint, or our historical standpoint, what does Christmas mean?
Well, Christmas, you know, that day, the event, the ancient meaning of that whole time of year, you know, of course, starts a few days before Christmas. In ancient times, you know, and we reverence and we flow with nature. So we reverenced the changing of the seasons, and we watched the different changing of the seasons because we knew that it was very important, you know, as far as spiritual aspects and different veils and realms being closer to one another at different times, and the distance of the sun from the earth at these different times. So all of those things are we knew were important. Now, the time that we know as Christmas, the winter solstice begins on December 21st. It's said that that is the shortest day of the year. That's the day when the sun, of course we know it doesn't move, but with what we see with the eye, when the sun, as it has made its journey, descent in the sky, in the cosmos, it comes to a certain point to where it sits on right on a constellation called the Crux. That's when it stops descending. Now, that's December 21st. Now, for the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th, the sun, when it rises each day, it rises at the exact same degree point for those 3 days. So it said that the sun was crucified on the cross, and it was dead in the grave for 3 days. We're talking about the flow of the S-U-N of God and the different changes of the season. And so it's on that crux, the constellation, the crux, C-R-U-X, the Latin term, just means cross, for those 3 days. And then on December 25th, when the sun rises that day, is when it begins its ascent back into the sky. And interestingly enough, you know, when we, if we go deeper in studying that, we'll see that it's actually, they have the quote unquote birth, you know, and the death, they have it all the way switched. You know, they celebrate the death and Easter, you know, but we're talking about the sun going into the grave and dying and being in the grave for 3 days in December. And then when the spring equinox comes, this is the first day of spring or the first day of the true new year. This is when it's at its halfway point. And then when it gets to the summer solstice, it's directly, you know, it's closer. So, and this is why those months are hotter. But all these things are symbolically talking about, of course, the path of the sun, you know, across the sky. So when it says that the Son of God was born on December 25th, or Jesus, who they call the Son of God in their Christian ideologies, was born on December 25th, you know, that's what it's really talking about. And that was the ancient meaning of these different celebrations and festivals that were centered around those times.
Interesting. I understand you're a medical professional also. So what type of benefit does by you having knowledge yourself affect your medical profession? How do they go hand in hand, or do you take any natural healing to your medical profession, any kind of polish to health, anything to deal with the answers into your medical profession, or you keep them separate?
Well, no, of course, you know, everything that I do, you know, I live this path above anything else, above any, you know, trade or anything, you know, that I could have or degree that I have. You know, it's all about, you know, of course, this path. But it's helped me in several ways. Studying anatomy and physiology, after going to school, when I went to school this last time, being conscious, studying anatomy and physiology, I had studied it previously when I went to school for other things, but this go round, it really allowed me to begin to see symbolic connections and meanings. When I began to study the different body systems and different body parts and the different, you know, glands of the endocrine system, and, you know, considering the Eye of Horus and what glands are depicted in the symbology of that symbol, you know, so it allowed me to overstand and go to a different level of knowing when it comes to my culture. And as far as, you know, medication-wise, I make a lot of herbal medicines, a lot of tinctures, you know, that these are the things that I use for my different ailments, you know, and in my household. And because I'm one who, you know, I live it. I walk it like I talk it, you know. I'm an advocate for natural medicines and natural healing. And I'm an advocate for a person being informed about the different things that are going on with their body, you know, whether it's diseases or whether it's just the knowledge of different things, you know, studying about the endocrine system and then considering the chakras. You know, you'll find a connection there where these different chakra points are in accordance with certain glands, the glands in the endocrine system, you know. And so it was very much beneficial. And then also, you know, to apply the knowledge, to be able to apply it in my home with my family and see results, you know, and see amazing results. So, Yeah, I think we definitely need to get back to nature as much as possible in every aspect, you know, in every aspect.
True indeed. So, when we look at conditioning our people mentally, physically, and emotionally. How important is it for us to kind of a healthy lifestyle from your own experience? You know, how important is it?
Very important. For instance, you know, if we know that in our bloodline and in our family we have certain diseases that we're prone to, high blood pressure, you know, diabetes and things like that, you know, that are prominent in our communities, then we should, of course, take action to be able to try to, you know, keep yourself eating healthy, to keep yourself from developing these certain things as much as possible. You know, I come from a family where high blood pressure and diabetes is, you know, prominent. At the age of 40, I've been lucky not to be able not develop these things because I changed the way I eat a long time ago. You know, they talk about pork, and you know, you hear a lot of Christian people say, "Oh, Jesus paid it all. Jesus changed that." If people are still getting high blood pressure from these, let's be real now. Like, what is going on here? You know, and that's a whole nother can of worms. But
I know from the previous discussion, you had mentioned that you have been creating particular manuals for individuals to follow within their life, right? Now, if an individual wanted to attain one of the manuals or attain information such as your books and other literature you have, how would they go about doing so?
They can do so on my website, houseofiyamiajay.com. There is a tab that says storefront. But before you do that, because the manuals are personalized and customized, I like to have a conversation with that person and get certain information, pictures that will go in the manual that are, of course, personal to the person ordering it, and as well as the content inside. But they're manuals for people who want to either learn a little bit more about African culture or the culture of the Yoruba people in specific. There's a chapter on language to begin to help you, you know, teach yourself the language and different greetings and stuff. There's several different chapters that are in there that'll help a person, a beginner, as well as, you know, an intermediate on the path, just to broaden their knowledge base about the subject, but begin to help them transform and deprogram themselves from a religious state of mind and connect themselves to an ancient, you know, an African school of thought, because obviously we know the importance of, you know, taking things back to your culture and your roots and your different native tongues and stuff. It makes a difference. There was a reason why they didn't want our ancestors speaking their native tongues and things of the sort. So it's a manual that'll help, that'll serve as a guide. And I also use it in the organization, in the spiritual house, the enrollees of that. They have one because a lot of the lessons are taken from that manual, and they use that manual as a textbook. But, yeah, these things can be purchased at houseofiyamiajay.com. Again, I would prefer you contact me on our Facebook page, House of Iyami Ajay, if you're interested in hearing more about that and possibly purchasing one.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned culture. What exactly is culture to you?
Well, cult being the root word
in that word is very significant. You know, we know a cult or something that is considered a cult in the medical field. If you were dealing with occult blood, it's hidden blood. So it's something that's hidden. And we know that our culture was hidden and still is hidden. So when you're talking about culture, I feel like, to me, that's something, the things that cultivate your essence, that cultivate the God within you based on the different ancient principles that have been woven into the genetic strand that is you, that is your bloodline. It's important for us to connect to these different things, because these different ancient formulas and energies, being able to connect to them, it just takes you to a different level and unlock certain things when you are in tune with and aware of your culture, the things that are set in place to cultivate you as a being.
True indeed. I got another question for you. It's off the subject line, but what exactly does a Sajakir mean to you? Or if you even familiar with a Sajakir?
You say, what exactly does what? I didn't.
I said, what exactly does Asada Shakur mean to you?
Asada Shakur?
Yes, or are you even familiar with her?
Oh yes, I'm familiar with Asada Shakur. Her, just like all the brothers and sisters are. You know, they were very instrumental in paving the way in certain aspects and making broad statements with their actions and being advocates and activists and, you know, just flat out warriors. You know, the sister, when you consider where she is now, you know, or you consider, you know, her going to Cuba and then what the Yoruba culture and the different spiritual systems in Cuba, they come from Ifa, you know. So when she went there, you know, to me that was real instrumental on, because if we take it back to, again, ancient times, we know that at the top of all these things is this matriarchal, this goddess, this black image, woman's image, you know, being hailed as the epitome of all things. So them being an advocate for her, it made sense to me, because they know where their spiritual systems, you know, come from. The language Lukumi, it's a Cuban, it's a dialect of the Yoruba language. It was born from the Yoruba language. But the sister was very instrumental in my view of self on this path, and learning and studying her and seeing, you know, what she did. You know, of course, everybody has their opinion on it, you know, and there again, it depends on what race you are. You know, let's just go ahead and say it as to what you think about it, you know. But when we consider the situation as a whole, bottom line, the sister showed the greatness that she came from. The sister showed that she was willing to fight for what she believed in, you know, to the death. And when we consider the fact that we are at war all the time, you said that in the beginning, you know, we are at war. It's a war for us day in, day out. So very instrumental in my view of self and just, you know, inspirational in me studying more about these different great black women.
True indeed. You mentioned that you have a second book coming out. Is it a way to pre-order the second book or preview anything like that? Any kind of snippets of it, or you can pre-order?
Well, right now, no snippets of the second book. And there are no pre-orders for that one right now. On the website, atimelessdynasty.webs.com, with the first book, there's actually an excerpt of a chapter that you can read there. But as far as the second book, no, I haven't released anything, you know, any snippets or anything for that just yet. I will be doing that, though, soon, a few months from now. But as of now, yeah, no, I'm not accepting any, I'm not taking any or promoting any back orders for that. But again, as I said with the first book, you know, of course you want a person to start with the first book. So with the first book, there is snippets and different information available on the website. And also updates for the second book or any other information, it'll be on that website as well. So.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming on to our platform, sharing out of your understanding. I want to say peace and love. I'm passing on kind of Rafiki. We had questions, and after they open up for the callers, peace and love. So.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to share and build. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
How you doing, sister? This is Rafiki.
Good evening, brother. Alafia.
Good evening. I had one question, and it was almost based off of on the previous radio show, we talked about having a united front, and we also talked about things that could rally mass of people that everyone could stand behind an objective. And one of those objectives was dealing with healthcare, you know, especially with our brothers and sisters in the prison. So being that you're a medical professional, what does medical apartheid mean to you? And then also, and this can be in general, as far as the healthcare system, what is your ideas on the healthcare system as it is?
Well, the healthcare system as it is, I of course there's a lot of things that I don't agree with. I don't take a lot of medications. As I said earlier, you know, I make and research different herbs and make a lot of my own medications, being in the medical field and seeing different test results, I know that there's actually a difference in certain normals. When we would get test results back, it'll say for African American add this, or for African American subtract that, or we had different normals in certain areas. So that stood out to me, you know, a lot. Of course, you know, as a African woman, as a black woman, that stood out a lot. I'm like, wait a minute. Of course, you know, we know that we're not the same people. But when you see the proof, you know, and different in how they operate, it almost, a person like me, it almost gives you no choice but to be against a lot of different things. You know, I don't do their flu shots or anything like that. I, you know, do my studies on certain things. I think that the medical system as a whole, as it is now, there are, you know, some things, of course, that are generalized across the board when you're dealing with the different races. But there are a lot of things that are just not beneficial or even includes our genetic makeup and who we are as melanated beings. So when considering us as a people, I think it's very important for us to establish our own healthcare systems and that concentrate more, of course, on natural healing, because this is the way of our ancient ancestors. You know, again, everything that we did, we did it with nature. So even when it comes to healing, you know, I personally feel like the word medication and meditation, you know, there's only one letter that makes those words different. You know, even just meditating and calming the mind, these are different aspects that need to be woven into the medical system as it is. I saw a video before over in China. It was in a medical setting, in a hospital setting. There was a lady that had a tumor, and they were using spiritual medicine to treat her. And they had a word. It was about four or five doctors. They had a word that they had all agreed upon to as the word of power, or the word that would make the thing so, the ashe behind it, the power that makes it so. But that word, I believe, was shu. So, and they have a camera on her, a sonogram on her, so that you can see the tumor in the stomach. And they begin doing their thing, you know, and meditating or whatnot, and then chanting this word. And you literally see that tumor disappear on screen. You know, they're applying spiritual aspects to medicine. And these are things that, of course, this country's medical system just aren't implementing yet and just aren't open to at this time. So, I mean, of course, that the medical system has made a lot of strides, but there's a long way to go before it's all-inclusive and beneficial. And, again, our own healthcare doctors and stuff that specialize in treating us as a race, I think that's very much needed.
Indeed. A lot of issues that we've been seeing in the prison, first of it starts with neglect in general. One of our Black August martyrs is a man named Guitar Galvin who, you know, suffered an injury, and he ended up dying because of lack of treatment. You know, the time it takes for them to see us in general is ridiculous. But I'm not sure if you had any dealings with people who are incarcerated or dealing with health issues. Have you came across any issues of anything of that sort?
Yes, I know a brother who's incarcerated currently, and he did mention to me about, you know, different health issues that he went in there with, you know, that of course, you know, it took them a while before they would even see him, and then made it an aspect of, you know, having the finances, and then back charging this brother for if he didn't have the money to pay for it, you know. So it was ridiculous, and I'm like, are you serious? You know, I didn't know that's how things were, but yeah.
Indeed. So that's definitely, and I'm in Maryland, and there will be some articles coming out as far as the healthcare within the prison system. But along with that is we're going to need exactly what you said. But we're going to need operating procedures as far as how things are done, who is seen, and a lot of times, when something does go down or someone is hurt, it's hard to even gather information on that individual, you know, because there's always another circumstance, or they claim that for security reasons they can't give out any information. So a lot of times when people do call to check in, they're blindsided, so they're blocked from even talking with our brothers and sisters inside.
Right. I mean, you have certain laws in place, you know, the HIPAA law that, of course, you know, are laws that protect your privacy. So they're not going to be able to discuss aspects of their health care unless that person has given permission for that, for their health care to be discussed with you.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an option.
They even go further than that, you know, because they'll end up putting you on hold, or they'll end up saying, hey, you know, this person's in quarantine, or, you know, it's something that's not even health related. So it's a difficult journey, and it's difficult to keep track at, you know, where the individual is in the process. So that was just some general question I had from you, because this is something that we definitely will have to build on, and definitely we want to have our own system as far as healthcare, you know, to see what does it look like and what's acceptable as far as treatments, and then as well as a healthy lifestyle. That's one thing that is definitely in neglect. My parents, my father was a school teacher. He taught gym, and in Baltimore City, the kids may have went to gym class, if best, twice a week. assistant, and this is in elementary school, you know. So that's something that some individuals don't think about, is having a healthy lifestyle. Are the people moving around? Also, is there food, healthy food around, you know, not, instead of having a food desert, you know. All these things affect us, affect our body, affect our health and our mind. So I know that's definitely something that attributes to our well-being.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, you know, the saying, you know, you are what you eat. And again, going back, you know, to the different herbs and stuff, even if you're not a person that would make your own tinctures, just to incorporate these different spices and stuff and herbs into your, you know, diet. And also, of course, getting, you know, fruits and vegetables and stuff, things that are in these fruits. There isn't a medicine pretty much created that doesn't have its beginning as some kind of plant or herb.
Mm-hmm.
The medication Tamiflu, what they mainly prescribe for the flu, its base is the herb star anise. So, you know, mm-hmm. what they need, they can't make that without star anise. So when we know these different things, just to, you know, educate yourselves and incorporate these different things into your diet, you know, you can be unknowingly healing yourself or preventing certain things. You know, there are a lot of herbs that are anti-cancer, antivirals. Elderberry, you know, that's a good antiviral to incorporate in what they call the flu season. That's a natural, you know, flu remedy, so deterrent. So it's absolutely important for us to consider our diet when we're, you know, and exercise. Also, you talked about gym class. I noticed when we were going to school, we had a gym, it was necessary. You know, you had to participate. We worked out every day, and we had to. And then seeing my children come along in the system, it's like, if you wasn't in athletics, and like my youngest daughter, she has taken all the gym that she has to have for the year. She's a sophomore. And when she told, I was like, are you serious? Like, I've never heard of that. You no longer required to have gym class. To me, to my knowledge, gym was, mm-hmm. you know, you had some type of, you know, you know, physical exercise, you know, that you had to do in school. So, yeah, it's just, it's very important that we substitute and get back to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. And is there, and I'm sure there probably is somewhere, just how, where to locate it, but is there a chart for individuals to educate themselves as far as herbals and what they're good for? Because, you know, these medications, like you said, they start from some type of plant base and whatnot, but they also are expensive. So if there's a something that individuals can get, or just to have in their diet, that would be good. Definitely good to know.
Well, I mean, I can't say a chart. I do know there's a book, an encyclopedia of herbs.
Mm-hmm.
I have the book, and it's a beginner's type. It's not exhaustive, of course, you know, but it's a beginning type. Now, GNC has a book called Prescription for Nutritional Healing. They put out different editions every few years, but that, it outlines all these different diseases, and it has different foods that you can eat to get different elements and things, you know, to help with certain specific ailments and diseases. So, you know, that's something that incorporates the knowledge of different herbs and foods too. But I don't know of a particular chart at this time.
Okay.
Just, you know, a chart that, you know, everyone uses.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate the information. Also want to let our listeners know that if you want to speak with a guest or have a question for a host and whatnot, that you could press 1 on your phone. At this time, we'll open up the line for caller. I think we just jumped in there. 973. Again, area code 973, your line is open. you have any questions or comments?
Yes, Mr. Sam, I appreciate that greetings. Some marvelous. I just wanted to, commend the goddess on, some of her works. I was reading A Timeless Dynasty. As a matter of fact, I actually ordered it twice. The book is, phenomenal. It's riveting. I'm waiting for the movie. This, in my opinion, is I got lost in a book in terms of I forgot I was reading. I'm like, this is actually a book. But yes, it's definitely a good read. Very inspiring. I came on a little bit late. What I wanted to inquire about, I overheard y'all talking about a new book of some sort. I didn't quite catch the name of that. Does it have a name, or you're just about to come out with one? As far as a new book, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the second book, it'll be A Timeless Dynasty 2. It does have a subtitle, Mystery of the Aegon Shrine. Is what the subtitle will be. But it'll kind of pick up and focus more on a different culture. As you know, the first book concentrated, it began with Kemet and the different gods in that system and pantheon. But this book is going to delve into a different aspect of African spirituality, focus more on the Yoruba culture and Orisha, and you'll see different characters coming from that pantheon. So that, I don't have a release date for it yet, but it is definitely in the working and coming along really good.
Okay, good, thanks. I definitely, probably like everyone else, I definitely look forward to that and, just try to, I'll try to stay in touch, so for that release, I know you don't have a date just yet, but I definitely, would be one to, get one of those, so, but, okay.
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you purchasing the first. You say you purchased it twice. I really appreciate that. I see.
Yeah, actually three copies. I bought one. I bought two for myself, and I got another for another person. So it's actually three copies. But keep up the good work, sister. Keep up the good work. I like that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Welcome.
Also want to thank you, brother, for listening and calling in. Do you have any other questions or comments for our guests?
No, not at this time. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you as well. Again, if anyone else wants to speak, press 1 on your phone. We also have another question. You might have already mentioned it, but how many books do you have out currently? Sister Africa. You still there?
Brother, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me, brother? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. A Timeless Dynasty is my first published novel.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as you guys heard earlier, I am passionate about poetry, so I'll be making my publication in that genre mid-spring 2019. So, yes, currently that is my first book and the only book that I do have for purchase, aside from the manuals, of course, that are associated with the house. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And any other common themes as far as in your poetry?
Say that again.
Any other common themes in your poetry?
Well, this poetry compilation, all of the poems will be related, and it's going to be telling a continuous story. So, and highlighting different aspects, weaving a lot of different schools of thought, occult schools of thought, and knowledge associated with different spiritual systems and schools of thought in the form of poetic stories. And as I said, all of them, will be connected. And then, of course, as you read, the final one will be the one that kind of brings them all together and gives you the mm-hmm. climax of the plot of the poetry.
Mm-hmm. And I heard one of them earlier. Do you have another poem you can recite? That's if you have it available.
I do. Let me see. This one is called Kundalini on the Rise.
Enter into my root chakra and let my hexahedron cast its spell. No longer platonic, we solidify the shape in which we dwell. Our energies unite and rise. It's sacred. Sacral alignments allow waters to flow up through the icosahedron. They go and extend to the plexus of soul. Like Tetris, we quickly detect where the tetrahedrons go. It's fire. We ascend in octaves. My heart, you unlocked it. Octahedrons dance when they are given the chance to engage in spiritual romance. We then become the dodecahedron, molded for a reason. 12-sided, 6-you, 6-me, united pentagons, ether spawns, ruling from the vertex, the highest point, the apex. A triangle atop a square makes the house far from basic, free from the matrix, seeing clearer than those who undergo LASIKs. Cosmically erected, stable like the pillars of Jed, electric. The flower of life connects it, animated in consciousness. We granulated our energies and then dispersed it amongst us. If love be the blessing, then we are teaching incarnate. If fire be the lesson and heaven be the climb, then we are kundalini on the rise from the base of the spine to the mind. We are removing partitions. They are beneath us, redefined. It would behoove you to absorb the lessons within this rhyme. Be inclined to decipher its depths relating to the religious teachings of mankind. So when they tell you that it is wrong to fall away from the church and give you that the snake is evil line, you shall have a response that gives sight to the blind. You shall speak with authority, and although they'll abhorringly judge you as the lost, your solar flowers shall burn out all their dross. Your sacred shape and aunt energy shall eventually make them toss that papal cross. I shall.
Definitely fly. Yes, sister.
Yeah, I see. Kundalini on the rise.
Indeed. Now I will bring back on our co-host, Bumani Shakur.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have a question, sister. What a Kundalini. For the listener, the people who don't know what it actually is, Kundalini, and what do you mean by it rising?
The Kundalini energy, it's an energy, a masculine, a feminine energy, also symbolized in the caduceus. You have the staff and you have the two snakes spiraling up the staff, which is symbolic of the spine. This is a concept that's associated with the process of awakening, that energy going up the spine and getting to, you know, what is called the crossroads or the neck, where the neck meets the head. And then that energy ascends through what we know as the Eye of Horus and comes out through the what they call the third eye or the pineal gland. And that symbolized when we see the uraeus coming out of the forehead or on the foreheads of these different comedic gods. It's also talking about or symbolically depicting that energy, that serpentine energy that rises up the spine and the path of awakening. And when your faculties, quote unquote, come online, you know, and being where the different glands of the endocrine system are, you know, this energy is also going through and igniting those different chakra points, those different glands are secreting certain hormones that cause certain faculties, spiritual faculties of man to come online during this process of that Kundalini energy rising up the spine.
Interesting. Would you say that the Kundalini energy, the same manifestation that you see on the headdress or the ancient pharaohs or Kemet, the ancient Egypt? Would you say that the same Kundalini energy?
Well, as I said again, you know, when you see that serpent on these crowns, now that crown. It's symbolic of what you mostly see, you know, different pharaohs wearing. It's symbolic of how it looks in your brain, your head, too. But
yes, that serpent, that cobra that you see coming out of the forehead, that sits on the forehead at these crowns, that's symbolic of that energy coming through and coming all the way through and coming out and having its effect on the world. You reaching a, you know, what is known as a God status, or, you know, awakening that God within you, resurrecting that Osiris being that God within you. And, you know, it as I said, it coming out to that point. So absolutely, it's talking about the same process. It's symbolizing that serpentine energy from the base of the spine to the mind coming out, you know, of course, in the head.
Oh, okay. What books or texts or magazine would you recommend for one seeking to increase their spirituality?
You say what books or texts would I recommend for one that what with Christian?
What books, texts, or magazine would you recommend for one seeking to increase his or her spirituality?
Oh, his or her spirituality. I would say, of course, everybody, you know, needs to study anatomy and physiology at one point or another, you know, to know thyself. It's to know thyself in and out, to know your makeup, how you operate, how you function, how your temple, I should say, this body that you're in, that you live in, how it functions, not you. I would recommend studying, of course, you know, about the great African mothers and the chakras and again, mainly symbolism, you know, also all of these different things are important and must be studied in order to get a even close to the totality of what is, you know, absolute truth or the epitome of truth. But definitely symbology and anatomy and physiology, definitely. If you're going to, you know, truly grasp certain things, because it's all the science of you and who you are as a being living in a body.
True indeed. But before we close out the radio show, right, is there any information that you want to put out there in regard to your book or content information or information about your organization, you put out this time, and also any kind of final comment that you have or statement?
Okay, well, again, you can find the novel, A Timeless Dynasty, at www.atimelessdynastynovel.webs.com. You can also search A Timeless Dynasty on Facebook and find it there. Any information about future projects in that series will be listed there. And the different platforms that I have on Facebook, my page, you can follow me or find me on Facebook at EIA Africa. Also on Instagram, I'm EIA Africa. So, and I just want to, again, thank you, brothers, for the opportunity to build with you guys and also to share my work and the things that I have going and my endeavors and contribution to the mission that we all have to help our brothers and sisters awaken and enlighten themselves. So thank you for the opportunity and allowing me to be a part of your platform and your broadcast tonight.
True indeed, sister. I want to say welcome. I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge, understanding, and presenting and bringing it to us. I also want to say that if anyone had any relative, friend, or associate behind enemy lines, please look into our website, which is www.georgiauniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgiauniversity.com. The struggle is for land, education for liberation. I want to say peace and love to all. I'm passing on to Conor Rafiki.
Again, I want to thank you as well for taking the time out to be on this show and your struggle in general and putting out information, educating our people, and also enjoy the poems. So, you know, if there's a book of poems coming out, I'm definitely looking for it.
So just appreciate you. And for those that are listening, you're welcome. For those listening, please visit George Jackson University website. And if you want to donate any books or time, contact us. And if you want to enroll in the university as well, there are forms there, so you can do so. So in closing, I want to say long live the new African independence movement and long live the resistance from those who are oppressed.
Oh. Okay.
Ghetto children singing, see, they eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts, revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. Was when my mom said, if you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my D&P right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training in difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish gills, a cop, love. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holster. My motions don't appeal to a fella division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. Black gorilla, crib and blood in one only. Just know my face, I be the case. But the wish at the police, look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new Huey
Newton. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. Of what we fight for, my heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist in more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.